There's approximately 5,000 members in that bargaining unit at Nova Scotia Health and the IWK. It's hard to sort of encapsulate it all in one point, but their duties are extremely diverse. But all those duties combined sort of lead them to being the gatekeepers of all access entry points to healthcare services. They're the gatekeepers to the outcomes of those healthcare services. They make your appointments, they order all the supplies, they collect the data and the statistics. They do all the schedules for the entire hospital staff. They do payroll. They do your admissions. They do your discharge. They work side by side with all other healthcare professionals, whether it be lab techs or nurses or physicians. They're sort of at the heart of running the healthcare system efficiently.
All right, and what to the wages is the key issue here, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No.
Well, wages have been the issue because, as we all know, inflation's been rising over the last 2 years. It's over 10%. There have been other bargaining units with the same employers that have been given more consideration to the increase in the cost of living, not necessarily in what's considered a pattern, but there's lots of other ways to recognize the value of employees. There's been meaningful dialogue at all other bargaining tables with the exception of this one. And this administrative professional bargaining unit, they're not generally entry-level positions because even at an entry level, there's some requirement of a post-secondary education. So many of these people have student loans, and they're, like everyone else, trying to make ends meet, trying to pay their daily expenses. And there's not been a lot of respect in the conversations about what we can do to assist this bargaining unit like we have with the other bargaining units.
Yeah, 3 years without a contract, eh?
Yeah, it's been 3 long years without a contract, without any raises. What was put on the table achieved an 82.5 strike mandate in June. Government, being the funder, is talking about their $2 billion surplus, but yet they continue to keep AP members among the lowest paid in Atlantic Canada with no recognition for any of that.
Yeah, absolutely. $18 an hour, we all know, that's well below a livable wage, as outlined by think tanks, by the Canadian Center for Policy Alternatives and others. And anybody living that experience would be able to tell you that. So what are the asks? What are you hoping to, what's the demand here?
Well, the bargaining team really just wants the same consideration that other bargaining teams got, to have meaningful conversations about what could be done to help make strides to improve those economic conditions for that bargaining unit. So no one has an expectation that you're changing everything overnight, but we would like to see us land in a place where we've done something significant for the bargaining unit that makes strides towards them becoming not the lowest paid in Atlantic Canada. Now, what that looks like, there's a variety of things that could be, and the bargaining team's not so rigid in their position that they're not willing to talk about there could be 4 or 5 different things that might look like. But at this point, the opposite side of the table and the funder have not engaged in any of that conversation. It's been a very flat no. We're not looking at or talking about any of that, which is why the talks broke off back in June.
Right. Okay. And and establishing an essential services plan needs to be in place before a potential strike. Where are you with coming up with that plan?
Yeah. So there was a meeting yesterday with the council unions to work on the essential service staffing plan. I mean, I guess the only way to say it is we all know that that legislation wasn't created for the workers or for the unions, and the employers continue to use it as it was written to advantage them, to bog down the process, to make it overly complicated. So the unions will have to review sort of where we're at in status and decide what the next step might be to try to reach an agreement. But we're really, really far apart at this point. The employer essentially is giving us numbers that it would be business as usual. And, of course, the union's position is more scaled back, essential services only.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is the whole purpose of a strike like this, not that anybody wants this, but it's to disrupt services, which applies pressure publicly, and then inherent, and then I guess by extension to government. That's basically what the point of a strike is, right?
Exactly.
All right. So that all said, though, I think you would agree, though, that and it is important to get this right, though, because many people certainly are relying on health care, some more than others, some very acutely. So this does need to be correct in order to. You don't want to leave people in a desperate, dire situation, I'm sure.
No, 100%. We don't have any more interest in doing a strike than what the employers or government would like to see. These workers, they value their own work, even if others don't. And they know how important they are to the delivery of healthcare services to Nova Scotians. So this is not what any of us want. We do believe there is room to have some meaningful conversation and meet a meaningful deal to bring back to the members and avoid work action. But in the meantime, we've been left with no choice but to gear towards that direction. However, even in the past, you know, in the last 25, 30 years, reaching these sort of impasses with health authorities, regardless of the structure, no one, no union, no worker has ever left patients, you know, to hang out to dry. We certainly would always make sure to have good planning in place. Anything can happen. We're aware of that. But a strike is not the final outcome that we want to see either.
All right, so what's the potential timeline here? Obviously, you got to get this essential services plan in place, and you said that that's kind of at an impasse right now. But what do you think a timeline? When might the earliest a strike be?
We have a bargaining date on October 11th. It took us 2 months to solidify and confirm that date, but we do have it confirmed now. So we'll go back to the table on October the 11th. And for us, that day holds a lot of hope. So we're hoping the hopes don't come crashing down. From there, depending on how that day goes, we'll have to look at what our next steps will be. We'll have to evaluate sort of, you know, had we made enough strides in moving something that it's worth having another day, or was it more of the same, which is no recognition or respect for the bargaining unit, so then have to engage in a movement. So a timeline isn't perfect, mm-hmm. but October 11th is the day, which was part of the point of yesterday. We're near the end here. If someone wants to engage with us, we're here. They're standing there yesterday from Sydney to Yarmouth and everywhere in between saying, we're here. We're ready. Let's talk. Let you come to the table and talk to us about what this needs to look like so we can all move forward. That's where the members are. They want to move forward from this.
Okay, Bev, we'll continue to monitor this and we'll be in touch. Thanks for doing this today.
Thanks so much. Have a good day.
All right, take care. Bev Strachan, CUPE Local 8920. Opposition leaders calling on the House of Commons Speaker Anthony Rota to